girls, and there's also therapy too.
Yay. Okay, good. Okay, well, all right, let's go ahead and do it. Okay, so season 3, episode 6. Wait, have you recorded yet? I'm so sorry.
I just started, yes.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Oops, I was recording that whole entire time. Okay, you guys, Maddie is back. Woo!
Yay!
And she's going to Ireland for her honeymoon on Saturday, and it's going to be so amazing.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Yay. All right, so let's do this. Season 3, episode 6, Indianapolis. This was directed by Randall Einhorn, who is our guy from The Office. We've talked a lot about him. He has also directed a lot of the show Abbott Elementary, which is awesome. That's a new one that's out right now that's won like so many awards, and everyone's raving about it. I haven't watched it yet, but it's definitely on my list.
Do you know where you can watch it?
I think it's on HBO now, actually.
Okay.
It's one of those shows, though, that's airing currently, so I'm sure you could also watch it on Hulu. Like, it's on network.
Oh, okay,
TV
so
right
it's
now.
Actually, it's live. It's not one of those, like, shows where they release everything at one time. Gotcha.
Right, yes. Okay. It's on network. One of the very rare ones. But it sounds like they, it looks like they have a lot of talking heads from the trailers that I've seen, and cool. It just seems very similar to what, like, you know, Parks and the Office has going for it.
That's so Randall Einhorn of him.
I know, totally. And then this was written by Katie DePold, who has written a ton for Parks. We've seen her before. She's wrote Beauty Pageant. She was also, as a friendly reminder, the lady who's super scared of animals when they're hiring for new animal control people, where she's like, whatever you do, just don't give me this job. So we've got
Dr.
a great team.
Dr. Richard Nygaard told me to do this.
You're a Nygaardian too? So dumb. All right, so just one more thing before we get into the summary and to this episode is that this is the last of the 6 episodes that were filmed right after season 2 for Amy Poehler's pregnancy / maternity leave, just FYI. So everything you've seen in season 3 up to this episode are was filmed right after the second season finale. And then Harvest Festival is when she'll have had her baby at that point. So our next episode is like the start of is their start of the season, technically, of when they started filming again. So it's kind of crazy.
That's so cool. Well, because I don't know what it is, and I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but for me, I always have to remind myself that Harvest Festival is actually in the middle of a season. It's not a season finale.
I know, it seems like such a like starter thing, or mm-hmm. like a cliffhanger,
yeah, or a finisher
almost.
Or a starter. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. It's crazy. And then if you'll notice, too, or if you remember, Time Capsule was technically the last episode to be filmed. They released it out of order. And so this one, Indianapolis, was filmed, I think, like third or fourth or something. And Time Capsule was the last one, which is why there's a little bit of an Easter egg in Time Capsule, because Tom wants to put Dennis Feinstein's like perfume or whatever in the time capsule. Mm-hmm. And it's like that's the first time we ever hear him, and then in this episode we are actually meeting him. So that's kind of why that is a little bit more, it worked out perfectly, because like the audience would think like, oh, they're just building off of what they already told us, but like it was kind of a little bit more of a structure to it almost. But you know, we didn't get that. And then also this is when they thought Rob Lowe might not come back, so they did have Anne and Chris break up because Perfect. They were like not sure if he was gonna be able to stay. This is totally separate from like them only doing 6 episodes. Like they actually just weren't sure if he was gonna be able to sign on for after 6 episodes, so they were like, let's just have them break up. And I mean, that's like obviously that's a little bit more of a dumbed down version, I feel, but that's essentially what happened. But then he stayed,
so that's interesting. Great. Yeah. So that's interesting. So if Amy Poehler hadn't been pregnant and they had recorded everything when they would typically start another season, mm-hmm. would Rob Lowe have been in any of those episodes
know,
if he had jumped
question.
Out?
Great question. I don't know.
Yeah. So we're almost blessed that she was pregnant and they had to do right. it that way, because I wonder if he just got so emotionally attached to the show and the character and was like, yeah, I got to come back.
I know. Or I wonder like... I don't know. I wonder why he wasn't able to stay. Like, was it something where mm-hmm. he had another show going on or something? And then that fell through, perhaps? Who's to say? Who is to say? But the point is that him and Ben are here and they're perfect.
Yes, they're wonderful. Great episode
right,
for them.
So, Yes. Oh my gosh. Great episode. All right. So now I have summary written. So yay. I am ready for a live reading of the summary and not playing it on a voice memo. And it's perfect.
Yay. Okay. I feel like I don't know if I'm getting better at them.
I think
with them
great.
Being shorter, but they're like not, you know, like I'm not trying to give too much away.
Right. Know? Yeah. I think they're great to just refresh our memory. And that's like all we need.
Yeah, I honestly think I started doing that when I was sending in the voice recordings because I was like, I don't want to play with anything that I'm not going to be there to comment on, almost.
Interesting. You know? Okay.
Anyway, here's our summary.
Okay.
Ron and Leslie prepare for a trip to Indianapolis where Leslie will accept an award for the Parks Department and Ron will delight in a very special steak. This also becomes a great way for them to reconnect with Chris, who Anne believes is cheating on her. Leslie does some spy work to help relieve Anne's worries. At the Snake Hole Lounge, Tom works on impressing Dennis Feinstein.
Yay! Oh my gosh, yeah, there's like 1,000 stories going on in this episode.
Mm-hmm. But very well integrated. And how everybody comes together at the end was very well done as well.
Totally. Oh yeah, that's so true. Good call. Okay, so yes, you are right. They are very good at integrating and everybody comes back together. This cold open starts with Leslie and Ron planning their speech because they're getting a commendation at the Indiana State House for bringing the Harvest Festival back. I did do like a little bit of research on like what exactly a commendation is because I've heard that term, but I'm not really like sure what exactly it was or when they are given kind of thing. And it's basically, I mean, obviously it's according to the internet, their like official definition is a formal praise or an official statement that praises someone. Basically like a lot of like first responders and things like that get them as well.
Mm-hmm.
For like, obviously for first responding. So I think it's really cool that it's like official in this episode that they're getting an award to celebrate them bringing back the Harvest Festival. I think that's a really big deal. And we kind of like gloss over that fact a little, but I like it.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. And it's really cool, like showing that the entire state of Indiana cares about the Harvest Festival. It's not just a Pawnee thing, which she's nodded to in the past, right? That like, this many people, like people come from all over Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So
to see how fat the citizens are.
Yes, exactly.
So they're deciding because who should speak first. Yeah, why not? And first of all, there's a bunch of pigeons in the back of her talking head. I haven't brought up pigeons in a while, but I saw them. There were a lot of them, I feel.
Yeah.
And I really like her line kind of like, she's like, should it go me, then you, then me, or then you? And then he's like, how about just you? And she's like, yes, thank you, Ron. She says that is so hilarious.
Yeah. It's very like quick, like she knew he was going to come to that, that realization.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
I love it.
Me too. And then Ron is really excited about the Charles Mulligan Steakhouse, and he's taken a picture of every steak he's ever had there. Fun fact, and I think a lot of you probably already know this, but Charles Mulligan Steakhouse is not real. It's not in Indianapolis, and there's no restaurant. But there's quite a few. Have you heard of Mulligan's restaurants at all?
That name sounds familiar, but
there's
I thought
it was like Mulligan's, but maybe it's something else, like that's a chain. I think I'm thinking of something else, but I did research Mulligan's and there's like so many restaurants called Mulligan's, like pubs and bars and stuff like that. I'm guessing because is that Irish?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm sure a lot of people named it after that. I did find an article that said someone who lives in Indianapolis went to the address on Ron's poster that he has. And it's at 30 Meridian Street in Indianapolis. And there's something called Ocean Air. It's a restaurant that serves mostly seafood, which is actually really ironic because Ron would not be eating seafood. Yeah. So.
No, that's pretty funny.
I know. I thought that was funny.
I'm glad somebody did that.
I know that they actually
went.
What
an effort. That's awesome.
I like the white suit jacket that he's wearing in one of the pictures. I thought it was really hilarious.
Yeah. This is a thing for Ron. This is not just steak. It is an event to him.
Yes.
And I was like thinking, birthday. Like, is this not unhealthy? Like, the effort he puts into, like, taking pictures and like notating it. But then at the same time, I'm like, you know, a lot of us do that for certain things and steak is just his thing. And it doesn't look like he's going every weekend, right? It's like a special occasion thing for him.
Yeah. Did you notice too? I mean, I also wonder, I had this thought kind of when you were just saying that, but also like when I was watching it, like, is he going with anyone? I wonder. Obviously Tammy, there was a picture.
Yeah.
He said Tammy was in one of the pictures, but
I'm going to be honest. I think when he's married, he goes, mm-hmm. right? But I see Ron as someone who does this on his own.
I could because totally
he doesn't want to be talking about it. He doesn't want to be talking to anybody. He wants to be enjoying his steak, mm-hmm. you know? So I don't see him going with anyone unless it's someone that he knows isn't going to like interfere with his experience.
Yes, I agree. I agree. And then I like also that the first ever photo, he says he's just a kid, but he makes the same exact face and he looks exactly the same. It's so precious. His cute little smile.
I know. I love the little peaks. Like, they happen very rarely, but enough times through the series that you can really appreciate it, that mm-hmm. he's got that little smile or his little laugh comes out. And it's just mm-hmm. everything is so man about Ron. That he's got this little boy feature that's so cute.
It's so cute. Oh my gosh. I was going to ask you too, and maybe I'll put this in the, what you call it, in the stories or the polls. It doesn't really matter. But I'm trying to think of like how to relate this to like both of us. And I was going to ask like if you have a favorite steak that you've ever had, or just in general, do you like steak a lot or don't like it? Or how it's prepared, how it's cooked, all that kind of stuff.
No, this is funny because I wrote down instead of steaks, we should have been doing this with Froyo.
Oh my God, you're right. We should have taken a picture every time.
I think we have pictures for most of the times. Like when we went in Phoenix, we have a picture.
That's true. I remember the one on Newberry. We definitely have
pictures of us at Mix. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, we have them. It's just like we need to actually start like a scrapbook of it.
Oh my God, that would be so cute.
Yeah. And then notate what flavor we have. But that was in my immediate thought when I saw this, is like we would do this with Froyo, not steak.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Great call.
So, but yes, I'm not a huge, like, Ivan knows a lot about steak. Like, he knows how to cook. He's watched videos upon videos of Gordon Ramsay cooking steak. Yeah. So he knows how to like do it. And, you know, so I let him buy the meat because I would look at it and just order the cheapest one. And that's not what you want to do.
Right.
So yeah, but I usually like mine medium well.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Brett, my brother-in-law, Brooklyn's husband, is very much into steaks and any kind of like grilling in general, I feel. Mm-hmm. So, and my mom, he made them. It's like a famous story in our family. He made them one time at our beach family trip. And ever since then, it's like every time we see him, if we have a weekend, that's what my mom wants. And it's so cute. He's like all about the recipe. And I won't say it just in case he doesn't want me to, but I'm pretty sure it's a lot of people's recipes. But he like marinates them in all these different sauces, and he's like, mm-hmm. you know, I really would like to have 24 hours of marinating, but like sometimes we just don't have that option. And it's so cute. But lately TikTok has been showing me so many steak cooking videos, or just meat cooking videos in general, and like I see so many of the way that you know how you like put the butter and the rosemary and the garlic, and then like you like it's like a basting thing, and then you take the spoon and mm-hmm. put the liquid of melted butter on top of it. I really want to try that one time. I've never tried it before, but that's another thing too that he's like super into, all the cuts of the steaks and what kind is his favorite and whatever.
Right.
And I'm just like, I mean, I don't know, but I like it.
Yeah. No, and Ivan does it that way with the butter, and he does thyme instead of rosemary. It's really good like that. I like it.
Yum. I know. I think I've been trying to get medium lately because that's like what's to keep it like moist or whatever. But I don't know. So anyways, just curious.
Steak.
Good times. Yes. All right. So Tom walks in with an ascot and sunglasses to show/tell us that it's a big night at the Snake Hole Lounge, which is the launch party for Dennis Feinstein's fragrance Allergic for Men.
Gross.
It's so gross. Just
why?
It's so stupid.
That's such a bad name. Like, and then we go through the names later. I have a couple of them written down, like, where it's just like, this dude should not be naming fragrances. Like, this does
it's
not
just not appealing.
Cool. Yeah. Also,
they all sound like some sort of side effect for like a medication.
The symptoms that get listed at the end of, oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm so sorry. This is such a tangent, but everybody needs to see this if you haven't. Have you seen the commercial, the SNL commercial for Chantix? the medication that has you stop smoking? Oh my gosh, it's Kristen Wiig.
Oh, I don't think I've seen it yet.
Oh, I'll send it to you. It's freaking hilarious because they're listing, like, they finished their, this helps me, this, this, and this, and this, and this. And then you know how the lady comes on and lists the symptoms, like the side effects? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's, Kristen Wiig's still sitting there sipping her coffee, and Bill Hader's there as her husband, and they're listing all the side effects, and she starts to have, like, these visual responses, like she can hear the lady, and she's like, what the fuck? This is going to do this to me? It's really funny. I'll send it to you. So,
oh my God. Maybe SNL has such good. Oh, 100%. Yeah. SNL has such good parodies for medications.
They really do. Yeah.
It's like not that one. There was one that Julia Louis-Dreyfus was in. It was like mixing heroin with something or whatever. And it's like, this is how I stay awake for my kids.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, their commercials just. Altogether, their commercials are so good. They have one for like a Pfizer pizza, and Kristen Wiig is like, it's almost pizza, and they're like, no, what does that mean? She goes, it's pizza, roughly speaking, and they're like, no, I'm not eating that. And she like, so the kid starts to eat it, and Bill Hader slaps it out of their hand, and it shatters on the floor.
Oh, I love them. Yeah. Together, they're so
me
funny.
Too. Oh my gosh, that cast, I don't think we've had as good of a cast since that grouping.
Well, they always say that, have you heard this, where like SNL is your most favorite when like you watched it, if that makes sense? Like your favorite cast is like the timing that you actually were watching it pretty much every week or seeing clips every week or interesting. Whatever. And I think that that's like kind of has a lot to do with like the cast here. You know what I mean? Because they're great. I love Chloe. I think Chloe's crazy. Feynman. Yeah, is that her name or her last name? Chloe's Crazy, I think, is her Instagram. But like, she does Britney Spears and like 8,000 others. Sierra and I always talk about her. She's good. Doing Nicole Kidman. She's phenomenal. I don't know how she does it. It's so funny.
Yeah, I really like her. I think was featuring last season, and she's a cast member now. So she's amazing. Funny. And then SNL, this is such a tangent, but SNL, they had their opening weekend last weekend, and they made cold open was them basically making fun of them losing literally everyone. Because Kate McKinnon left, Pete Davidson left, Adi Bryant left, all like a huge group of people like just left. And so they had to replace all these people. So it was like them making fun of like, let's see what's going to happen now that they're trying to like pick themselves back up, you know.
Yeah.
So,
oh God.
They're just funny. That's funny. But it is interesting.
It.
Anyway,
it is on Peacock.
Yes.
Full episodes on Peacock, which you can also watch Parks and Rec on. So we circled
exactly.
It back.
We did it. You know, it came together. Side note: when Tom is walking in, Leslie and April are talking about elephants.
Really?
Yeah, she's saying. Says something like they're talking about elephants. Or that's the weird thing about elephants. That's what Leslie's saying something about elephants. And tried to rewatch it so many times and then look and see if there's something that like would indicate why they were talking about elephants, but I saw nothing.
But weird. Usually there's something in like the deleted scenes or something that they cut off a scene or something, but no, there wasn't anything that I saw this time. So that's funny. They were just improvising, I guess.
Yeah. I wonder if they do that. They're like, okay, you guys are just talking and Tom's going to walk in. And so they were just, you know, making shit up. So
that's hilarious. Yeah. Oh my God.
I also would love to know if this table situation in the middle, out in the open, are they having a meeting or is this like their break time and they're just chilling and that's when Tom comes in? Because they spend some time there, right? We have a lot of episodes that start with people coming in and everybody sitting out in that open area. But then they also have the conference room.
Yeah, I feel like the table out in the open is like the break area or like where some people eat lunch and stuff. But the conference room is where actual meetings are held.
Yeah, fair.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know why they would be talking about elephants in a meeting, but you never know.
Fair. Yeah, I don't know either. The zoo, they have to replace the penguins.
That's true. Some kind of animal control thing, maybe. I don't know. Well,
in the middle of Indiana.
Right, exactly. Ben has a really sad talking head about how he doesn't want to get close to people because he moves around a lot. And so they're like Facebook friends, not real friends. And like, it's such a bitter talking head that I understand why he's feeling this way. But I was like, oh, Ben, you are just so calloused at this moment and you haven't gotten into your friendships yet here.
Well, and I think the other part of it is he probably learned, and I'm speaking from me moving around a lot. Mm-hmm. Probably not as much as him, though, right? Because he's moving like this, whereas I was moving every year or two. But you kind of learn that people are just inviting you to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And you get there and you're like, I don't have an actual connection with these people and I don't actually think they care that I'm here. And that's why when Tom goes over later and he actually insists that Ben comes, I think Ben gives in because he's like, he gave me the courtesy invitation. Mm-hmm. But then he came and he followed up and made sure I was coming, which is like probably a level of effort that he didn't get from other people. So I can understand why he's bitter about it, you know,
which all circles back to Leslie, because Leslie's the reason why Tom does that. Yeah. And it's really hilarious, too, that Leslie tells Tom to take Ben to the antihistamine party.
Yes, the antihistamine party. Yes, I absolutely love that. Yeah,
I know. It's really precious that she wants to make him comfortable and she wants to like make sure he feels like he's a part of the team, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's really good at that. And if she was able to go to this party initially, she would have been the one probably doing more.
You're probably right.
I think she might have still sent Tom because it's Tom's party. Mm. But I think she would have made sure he went and she would have been his buddy when they got to the party. But I think she feels that extra need to push Tom because she's not going to be there.
Yeah, you know? That's a good point. That's a really good point.
I also have to comment on Tom's talking head where he says microbrew perfumes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what the hell was like, what the fuck? Does that so exist? Weird. So because microbrew, I'm sure you know, I've heard that about beers, right? Mm-hmm. But I've never heard it about perfumes. So I Googled it and perfumes like, no, like, the only thing that came up is that there's a microbrew ale fragrance for guys, which I'm assuming smells like a beer.
Beer? Ew. Yeah. I don't need that. That's a Dennis Feinstein idea, though.
Yeah, right? Very fair. So that's the thing. That's the only thing I could find. But then I was like, I guess I don't really know what a microbrew beer is. So I looked it up. A microbrew is the number of beers produced at a brewery. It's the barrels. So you can be a microbrew if you have 15,000 barrels of beer or less that you brew a year. And 75% of them must be sold outside of the brewery. So a little over 11,000 barrels have to be sent out of the brewery. Anyway,
I think that's why it's like, no, that's a great thing to look up. And I think that that's why it's like so... popular or was so popular, maybe still is, with like hipsters and trendy things, because it's like, oh, this is a smaller exclusive. Like very exclusive. Yeah, it's not as big as Sam Adams or Miller Lite. Right. It's like, you know, just exclusive to us and these 75,000 other people or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm almost wondering, like, is that what would microbrew perfumes are not a real thing,
right?
But because Dennis Feinstein is like the shit, apparently. Does he do that where he has like a certain amount of bottles he makes of each perfume and then he doesn't sell more than that or whatever?
Maybe I could see him doing that.
Yeah,
to be like very exclusive to Pawnee. I don't know. Great question. What was it, do you remember the exact line that Tom said? Like, did he say that Dennis Feinstein was a microbrew perfume place?
The best microbrew perfumes and fragrances or something like that.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I guess he's trying to make it you know, small and like VIP for the people that get it.
VIP is the actual term for everything Tom tries to be, which we learn later shoots himself in the foot a little bit.
I know. Dang it. But this is the first mention of Tommy Fresh, by the way, which is Tom's fragrance, which I think is hilarious.
Love it.
Love it so much.
It's and better than allergic.
I know. Tommy Fresh is so much better. I would definitely be looking at that.
Yeah. Yikes.
Then Andy and April are talking at the Shoeshine stand about what they're going to do tonight. And basically where they're going to watch TV, like Burley's house, their house, Best Buy. also, Best the new Buy. Album. I love that. The new album name, April Ludgate, is the best. Volume one.
Volume one. I know. It's so cute. I also love this, like, I don't care what we do. I just want to be with you, mm-hmm. which I think it really is one of the really clear signs that, like, they're just really meant for each other. Like, mm-hmm. she doesn't care. She just wants to be hang out with them.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's so special.
Yeah. That's the root of a genuine relationship is, like, I don't have to be taken on this date where I'm going to get wined and dined. Like,
right.
I just want to spend time with them. Like, I thought was really sweet.
It's so nice. I love it. And I also think that it's really smart. And we kind of touched on this a little bit, but I think it's so smart and hilarious that they brought back a lot of things that they've kind of said in passing. So first of all, Dennis Feinstein, but also mm-hmm. Burley, they talked about, which we hadn't really talked about him in a minute. And so I love that they like are building this world for us. And that's mm-hmm. when April suggests that they go to Tom's thing. And it makes Andy all nervous because, like you're saying, they just want to hang out together. But Andy's like, oh, my gosh, I forgot when you have a girlfriend, you need money. And April deserves all the things.
It's that's what's beautiful about it, right? She doesn't care. She doesn't want it, but he wants to give her everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, and it's not coming from a place of I want to show her that I have shit, which sometimes I get that vibe from people where they're like, I just want to show that I have the money. He just genuinely wants to shower her in gifts because he wants to treat her like a queen, which I think is beautiful.
I know. I wrote down everything that he thinks that she deserves. Do you want to hear it? Flowers, massages, chocolate, booze, diamonds, rubies, emeralds, a treasure chest full of scarves.
Love that
kind
one.
Of. I know, right?
Favorite. Favorite, and I don't know why.
Scarves. Okay, maybe I'll put that in like the poll or something as well. Like which
gift would you want? Yeah.
Or is like your favorite that he said. Different kinds of lubes that warm up when you rub them on stuff. I wonder if that was a Chris Pratt improvise thing, because he just goes on and on and on for this list, and I'm sure they gave him some time. I didn't find anything. Usually that stuff is written in my research or like I hear about it on an interview, but I didn't hear anything. So I'm just imagining
it. I can see that, though.
He made that up.
Yeah, but for sure. If there's one person that goes in the inappropriate direction in the improv, it's definitely Andy.
Totally. Well, and April is so precious in her talking head, but also kind of like, I don't know, to me it was a little bit showing, and we've talked about this before, like kind of showing her age a little bit again, like how she's kind of like young and, you know, green with this, because she's like, whatever, I guess we're dating, like whatever, like stop it, go away. I don't like labels. Blah. And I'm just like, bitch, just you're with him. But it's super cute and precious.
It is. Yeah. It's very the smile.
Mm-hmm. You know, she plays that so well. She has a great job.
Well, and I think we learn in the Harvest Festival episode, right? Like that's coming up. Andy doesn't necessarily forthcome with his words. So I wonder if they've even had the are we boyfriend, girlfriend talk. So with her age and with her inexperience, she might not want to put a label on it. So she doesn't feel like she's trapping him, even though he sees it.
That's so generous of you to say.
I'm just thinking because that creates a huge fight, right, between them and Harvest Festival, is that she says I love you and he says awesome sauce, right? But he obviously loves her too, but he doesn't use the words. So I don't think they've even had that.
That's what's so awesome about the sauce.
Yeah, exactly. I love it so much. But that's kind of how I see it, is like, I think you're right that it does show her age and her inexperience in relationships, because she doesn't want to push it. Whereas someone who's had a lot of experience might be like, okay, listen, are we dating? Or are we not dating?
Yeah, no, and you're totally right, though, about like the next episode, them, they haven't had this conversation. So that's totally true. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, great call. Love it so much. This is why you're here. Well, now Leslie's at Anne's house trying to pick out an outfit for the commendation. And Anne is like, I think Chris is cheating on me. I love how Leslie takes Anne's side immediately. That lying bastard. Wait, how do you know? If not, I hate him.
I know.
But it's you guys are great together.
this is like how you are.
Mm-hmm. Like, I will kill him.
Yeah, I know. I know you will. I'm married to him, and I know you would kill him if you needed to.
I was more so doing line reading of Leslie, but yes, that is true in real life too.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, though, is like that's, it's you. Like, and I would do the same thing, right? Where it's like, okay, well, let's have all the facts, but at the same time, like, I'm on your side no matter what type deal. And that's like, I feel like we're both Leslie in that moment for each other. But yeah, it's so funny that back and forth, and like, she's like, I'll do what I can to help you and figure it out and whatnot. I also love that Anne has her entire closet on her kitchen table for Leslie.
I know. It's so
this happens all the time. Like, when Leslie needs to do something fancy, like, Anne is like, come over and let's fashion let's show at lunch. Let's do
it. Yeah, fashion show at lunch. Yes, love it. yeah, because Chris is being all distant, and Leslie says that he's not going to be able to keep anything from her because in high school, they used to call her Angela Lansbury, which at first I didn't really understand, and then I remembered that she was a star slash is really known for a murder she wrote, where she's a detective, and it's like super famous, obviously, so that makes sense. So she's going to do some detective work is what she's trying to say.
Yeah. Well, and this is my... don't know what word I'm trying to find. My ignorance, maybe, that I thought Angela Lansbury for some reason was someone political,
and then
realized that she was a British Irish actress.
Yeah,
who is a dame actually.
She's knighted. Also really, I'm pretty positive that's awesome. Good for her. Mm-hmm. She's also pretty, what you call it? I think she's a Broadway star too, or maybe it's West End since she's British.
Very, but I'm pretty positive possible.
She's a big theater actor as well. But apparently that Leslie is not called Angela Lansbury because she's a detective or in high school is because of her haircut.
Yeah.
Which I was just, if you look up a picture of Angela Lansbury, like the first picture, and imagine Leslie with that in high school, it's a really funny image.
It reminds me of the perm.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could see that. But like, it's a little bit more of like a shorter haircut, like a pixie thing.
Not the perm. The... when they think that she's a lesbian with Anne, and she cuts her hair done.
That makes so much more sense. Yes. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
Because Angela Lansbury's hair was a little bit curly too. So I was like, yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. But no, totally. When they're each other's date. Oh my gosh. That is so funny.
Yeah. 100%.
Yes. Oh my God. What was that? Oh fuck. I forgot the barber's name.
Salvatore.
Well, isn't Salvatore is Ron's, but I don't think that was who did her hair. Either way, it doesn't matter.
I want to look it up, but keep talking and then I'll look it up.
Okay. Yes. I'll tell you a couple things. So Tom invites Ben. This is when Tom comes into his office and is like, come to the perfume thing. What are you going to wear? And he's like, probably something totally different after he's like shamed into what he's wearing now. And then they're driving to Indianapolis. Leslie and Ron are in the car, and she's saying there's some really cool pit stops. And she's like, we could see Indiana's second largest rocking chair and the misshaped celebrity castle, Madame Tussauds' failed wax statues. That is so brilliant and so funny. That's one of my most favorite jokes, I think. It's so good.
It's hilarious.
Oh, I love it.
Salvatore. Is the name.
So it is Salvatore. Mm-hmm. So that's the one that does Ron's too?
I want to know what Ron's hairdresser's name.
I'm pretty positive it was Salvatore. I guess they didn't like mention it that much though when they had him come on for her hair.
Well, and Pawnee is small.
You're right.
So maybe it's the same person. And I mean, it's several seasons apart that we find that out. So
yeah,
I don't know. Nope. That's Typhoon. I'm like, no, that's who he gets later. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Typhoon Salvatore, is not first.
Also.
Yeah.
So probably just the same dude.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay. I don't know why I thought it was a completely different person, because I didn't think that we met Salvatore, like Ron's person, but we do. Mm-hmm. We see him. So in that episode that he does Leslie's hair, they go to the actual salon or the barber.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Anyway.
You were right.
Okay, cool.
Anyway, I have a side note.
Yeah.
Before they get in the car. Ben, his idea of fun was like he was going to go watch Hope Floats at the motel. Which is funny. I've never seen that movie. Have you seen that movie?
I have seen it, but only once, like a million years ago.
Okay. That's beautiful. I had no idea what it was, so I looked it up.
Isn't it like a rom-com-y type situation? It looks,
romance drama from 1998. So
Who's it was in at it least. Again? Is it Sandra Bullock? No.
Yeah, it's a Sandy B.
Okay, yeah. We love.
And Forrest Whitaker directs it, which I didn't know that Forrest Whitaker directed stuff.
No, me neither.
Yeah, wow. And then also Harry Connick Jr. is in it.
Oh my God! God, I totally forgot that.
Yeah. So I did, which I also didn't know he was an actor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Okay. Because he's a jazz pianist. Grace
for a million years.
Okay.
He dates, what's her name, Deborah Messing's character.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I knew he had made
I knew he had made appearances, but I didn't know he was actively an actor.
I know. He's one of those people that I think is so good at crisscrossing back and forth between the music and acting. Because there are a lot of people that, like, you know, they are actors, but they also do music, and they're mostly known for the one thing, though. So he's one of those people, though, that I think he was, I think he did music first, but who's to say? But either way.
Yeah. Well, because he's a very accomplished jazz pianist.
Mm-hmm.
And then wasn't he a judge on American Idol?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't he?
Yeah.
Or was it The Voice? Was it American Idol?
Maybe it was The Voice. Hold on.
Either way. No, you're probably right. It probably is American Idol.
I don't know why I'm so interested in learning all these things, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Good for him. He got married in 1994 and he's been married to the same person.
Aww. Special.
I love that when that happens in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because it's rare.
American Idol?
Yeah, it's American Idol.
Okay, nice.
I don't think it was for very long, though. I think it was just a couple years.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that that was... And I discovered, and also the line of Tom being like, I'm pretty sure she's going to kill you.
Yeah.
The hotel person.
I love that line too. Yeah.
I know.
That's so good.
So but neither of these places, by the way, are real that she talks about, like the rocking chair or the Madame Tussauds failed wax statues. But there is a large rocking chair in Bunker Hill, Indiana, which is about an hour and a half from Indianapolis. So there's like some truth behind it. But, you know, it's just like those kitschy kind of roadside stops.
Yeah. Well, and I love that it's the second largest.
Like, I know, me
the
too.
One that she wants to see.
It's like, so funny.
I mean, it's probably just a rocking chair at that
point. I know.
Oh, man. But yeah, so I do this all the time, though. Like when we're going to go somewhere, I'm like, where are the 15 million other places we can go when we're there? And we never have time to do all the stuff. But like, it's like, what can we fit in?
Yeah.
You want to maximize your time.
Did I tell you about that? Have you heard of roadtrippers.com?
No.
It's one of those websites, and I'm sure they have more now, but when I did my cross country trips from Virginia to LA and then LA to back to Virginia, I put our stuff you put in your start point and your destination, and it basically, you can set a radius to like 50 miles or whatever of how far off the highway or path you're willing to go, and it tells you all these different like stops that you can go on that are like either famous or like, you know, well known for whatever it is. So like, we stopped at a couple different like soda pop shops on Route 66 and like fun little things like that, and it was it really made the trip so much more enjoyable.
Yeah, no way. I did not know that existed. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was so helpful. And like in Kansas, we went to like the Dorothy Museum. It was so cute. Aww. Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, so I'm definitely using that.
Mm-hmm. And especially for people that road trip a lot, or like if that's their most favorite way to travel, then like it's a really great way to do it. So,
well, we've learned, you know, because we want to go out to Europe and all these places, right? But we've been watching all these TikToks about traveling, and so many people just do like road trips in the States because we have everything. We have waterfalls, we have mountains, we have, you know, beaches. So it's like,
I know.
We were thinking about that. Like, we have a lot we can do just in the United States. So, I mean, I'm definitely going to use that now.
I know. I want to do a Northeast one, like maybe start in Virginia and go up through Philly and then like go to the New England. Oh, my God. Because I haven't been to Maine before, which I think I've told you that I want to go when you said you went there.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I was there for my mom's wedding. It was beautiful.
I've heard.
So.
Well, so Ron's really grumpy because he's been fasting to save room for Mulligan's. But then we find out that we're picking up Chris Traeger and not meeting him at the restaurant. And Ron gets even more angrier, which is crazy.
I also feel that, though.
I do, too.
Like, if I was not prepared when we left that's going to be a detour, and I'm really excited to get where we're going, like, I'm like, listen.
Are we done?
This is, like, nah.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I also think it's disgusting that he doesn't wash his beard.
I know, it's nasty.
So that he can eat the leftovers that have fallen in his beard.
Not sanitary. Hate it.
A mustache, rather. My bad. But yes.
Oh, yes. Gross. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, then we finally get to Chris's house. This is a great little space, an apartment. Very nice.
How does he afford that on a government salary?
I don't know. I'm very intrigued. I mean,
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's got a little backyard situation.
I do wonder, though, if Indianapolis is like maybe cost of living is easier slash nicer. I don't know. I did hear also on Parks and Recollection that Chris Traeger said that this area of Hollywood where they filmed this was like kind of gross and nasty, and he felt like he got the heebie-jeebies sometimes when he was in that apartment. So that's interesting. But also, like, I don't know, I'm gonna sound so like shitty, but hearing Rob Lowe sometimes, like, I don't know what to take at face value from him, because the way that he talks is like he's very used to the higher echelon of things. So I'm like, my old apartment that I had in LA, he'd probably think that it was like really creepy and gross. Like,
right.
I guess in certain aspects, yeah, it was. It was not like fancy, and it was definitely in like, especially at night, it was like, it wasn't dangerous, but it definitely wasn't like, you know, weird.
Yeah, like, but livable.
In a nice part of town. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. It's just really funny to me, but that's a fun little moment that that was filmed in Hollywood to know that.
Yeah.
And then he's kind of talking about the feng shui of the room, like especially in the foyer. Side note, someone told me once that foyer is actually pronounced with an R. It's not foyer. Everyone tries to make it like fancy because it's like they think it's French or something, but they would actually pronounce it foyer. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Huh. But anyway, last week we talked about bagua, which is a form of feng shui where you're like putting certain things in certain parts of your house to like attract prosperity or wealth or health or that kind of thing.
This and is so, very Asian, by the way.
Yes, very Asian. We talked about that last week as well, where my BFF from LA is from Vietnam, and she puts all her plants in, I think she said it was the eastern corner of her space, and she's like, it's supposed to bring wealth and prosperity. And I was like, oh, love it. I want to do that. I just like, I can't have plants, which we've already discussed, and I don't need to say it again, because my cats eat them, so I need to figure out a way that I can like have some kind of life in here that isn't.
If they're fake, do they eat them?
I don't know. I should try it. I think they do.
Or flowers.
Oh, yeah.
So something I started doing was flowers. Okay.
I know. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a smell, and then they like think that it's edible because it smells. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway.
Interesting.
Maybe I'll just like put all my green things, like anything colored green,
yeah,
in the corner.
RJ and Phoebe messing it up, man.
I know. After all I do for them.
I know. Fine.
So Leslie's snooping around. There's lots of coats in the coat closet. And Chris Traeger has that nice line of, I like coats.
I love that. It's also Indianapolis. Like, it's fucking cold.
You gotta have a lot of coats.
Yeah.
So then we get back to the bar in Pawnee, and Andy is trying to order drinks, but he doesn't have any money. So he's saying he knows Tom. And then Freddie, who we know before and has sent his voice memos before, comes over as like an intimidation to be like, hey, do you have any money? Because like, move aside for the paying customers. Mm-hmm. And it's like so embarrassing. And this would definitely be embarrassing if I was Andy. But like, luckily, like you said, this is April. And she's like, I don't care. I just want to be with you.
Yeah, they're going to make a game out of it. It's going to be fine. I will say, though, like, I mean, I don't know if it's because I don't know if Tom doesn't do enough for the company or whatnot, but like, we give away a lot of free food. I probably shouldn't say that, but we do. Like, to, you know, family, when they come into town, they don't pay to eat at the restaurant. Like, so if it was like a really close friend, you'd hope that Tom would like hook him up, but I don't know if the bar scene's super different.
Yeah. You know? Or just like this, I don't know. I wonder if this whole vibe in general is like different. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem like they'd be the type of person to do a kickback unless it's like Detlef Shrimp that comes by. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah, no, you're very right. It's just a different vibe. You're right.
Yeah. But I did a little bit of a research on this fella, this bartender. His name is Tim Akers, and he's been in Transparent, Last Man Standing, and a few other things that I wasn't super familiar with, but he's been in quite a few things. He also worked as an ADR supervisor in the sound department for a couple of things, so that's cool that he also works, you know, in the sound department. I couldn't find his info anywhere, which was really sucky, but, you know, good job, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's there again in another scene, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He comes back in. I think this is his only episode, but yeah, he has a couple scenes in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because they tip him all that money that they got in their game.
Yeah. Thank you.
Whoop, 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 whoop. I know. I love that. Thank you. I looked up also where these snake hole scenes were filmed. I can't remember if we talked about this. I feel like I had tried to find, but I couldn't find where it was. And for whatever reason, this time it just came right up. So
I thought we had talked about it.
Had
and
we?
I don't. Yeah, I just don't. Okay. You're right. That you could be right. I would trust you more than my memory. But
no.
Like, I thought we had talked about where it was.
Okay, maybe we did. But as a refresher, this was filmed at Echo Ultra Lounge in L.A. It's closed. It's technically on 1604 Cahuenga, if anyone wants to drive by. It's like in Hollywood area. And it totally, like, if you look up the pictures online, if you just Google Echo Ultra Lounge and just click on the image search for Google, it totally looks like it. Like, there's so many cool lights and like the blue kind of vibey moment happening. So it totally looks like it. Love it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yay. So now we're at where Ron is waiting in the car for Leslie and like yelling out the window. And this is where the reason Ron's waiting in the car is because Leslie's calling Anne about Chris cheating on her because she found a pink razor and a pink swim cap in the bathroom. And Anne's like, okay,
yep.
I'm coming down there. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and forget it. I'm coming. Which yep.
The toilet seat was up, though.
The toilet seat was up. So that's good.
I loved that comment. Like, that she had to look at the camera and say, ah, the toilet seat's up. Good.
Good sign.
Yes.
I would love to know. I mean, I'm guessing it's probably like an hour and a half or two away from Pawnee. Since Pawnee is not a real place, I couldn't tell you how far away it is
right.
from Indianapolis. But I would guess that it's about like an hour and a half or two. Because if yeah. Anne can travel, I wouldn't assume that she would travel more than 3 hours, you know?
Yeah, well, and so the other thing that you kind of factor into that, first of all, it has to be worth it for you to go down because they're going to drive back that mm-hmm, night. Mm-hmm. If it was 3 or 4 hours, I think they would probably stay, right? They wouldn't want to
yeah.
drive all the way back down because it's already late. She makes it in the time that it takes them to go from Chris's apartment to the steakhouse, back to the Chris's apartment, and she shows up when he's cooking dinner.
Mm.
So I yeah. think you're right with the hour and a half, 2 hours. That's a good...
Yeah.
I a think good marker.
Too. Yeah. Okay. Good to know. Speaking of that, now we have this little sad moment of Ron's. We find out that Mulligan's has closed because of a health code violation, and Ron goes crazy and starts banging on the door, kicking it down. There's a couple deleted scenes that I were not on the DVDs, but I heard slash read about where like Ron starts like scaling the wall to try to get over on the roof or like try to climb into it somehow because he just goes ham with it and he's like, I can't. So yeah. sad. And another location breakdown moment, the exterior mm-hmm. of this building is a restaurant slash bar called Whiskey Bend in Burbank, L.A. They have cocktails, dancing and karaoke. So if anyone would like to go to Whiskey Bend, let us know.
Very cool. Fun. I am assuming then that they did this. I mean, it was nighttime, right, mm-hmm. when it was filmed. So maybe they did it in the middle of the night and were able to put all those signs up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or they just rented it out. You know what I mean? But yeah, they either did it in the middle of the night, but they probably also rented it out so that no one else could come in and they blocked it off.
That's true. Yeah.
So
he's just in such denial, though. This
I know.
Poor man.
I like, love
he's
his
so
little
sad.
Bib too.
Like, they just forgot to unlock the door.
I know. It's so cute. And he's treating it like a, I don't know. He's just treating it like it's a loved one. Like, I should have been here. You know, what mm-hmm. happened to all the sticks that were inside? He's like, so
that's one of my favorite lines. It's like, this really, that's what we're thinking about.
I know. But yeah, I do love his little bib. It's so cute. And I wonder if he wears that every time. Did you see that in the pictures?
Yeah.
I feel like I don't. Okay. So cute.
No, we should go back, but I'm pretty sure he has the bib
on. I think
on.
So too.
Yeah.
In most of
I'm
them
pretty
anyway.
Sure.
Either way.
Yeah.
But then, well, Chris suggests. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say is like, Chris suggests, like, I'm going to go, we can go back to my house and I'll make you dinner. So here's my question. We haven't done that yet. The burger mm-hmm. off, right? So we don't know that, like, do we know? This is kind of what I'm asking you.
Mm-hmm.
Chris's, like, health nut-y eating ways?
Well
yeah, because he brought, yeah, okay, but that hasn't happened yet either. This is
no,
the problem.
No, we know that he's, like, <with me. laughs> I know, there's so many things going on and, like,
yeah.
Ways to, you know, think about it as far as, like, what we've watched and researched versus what we just watched for fun.
Right.
But, no, I think we know that he's on a health nut kick because last episode, Anne was, like, kind of showing us how she, like, is very similar to all of her boyfriends. And so she starts taking all these like vitamins and supplements and detox teas and all these things. So we know that he's very healthy. However, the thing that's so misleading about it, which honestly, I'm kind of a little bit mad at Chris for doing this, is he says they'll be just as good as they were here. Bitch, that's not the same. Portobellos are not the same as a Mulligan steak. Okay.
No, dude. And I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, you've only known Ron for a month, but that's enough to know that this man needs an actual fucking steak.
Yeah!
Like, well, please.
And I know in Chris's and head he's not doing it, like, viciously or anything. He's obviously, he thinks that they will be good enough or the same. And I'm just like...
Well, honey, he's trying to put his healthy agenda on people most of the time, too.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, he's probably, that's part of it. With that, not maliciously again, but it's right. Like, you know, it's probably there. But my other thing is, like, Leslie and Ron, do they not know him well enough yet
right
to say, well, you say that, but I fucking know what you eat,
right?
We're going somewhere else. We're not going to your house.
You know? Think that you're right. I think that you're definitely right about that. But I do love, the thing I do love about this scene is how Chris is like kind of paternal almost, like, come on buddy, we'll get you something.
Yeah, I know. And Ron's usually the very put together one, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So now we're getting to see Ron be the kid and Leslie and Chris be the parents.
That is so true, especially with how paternal he was last episode when he tells April, like, you gotta let Andy go or you gotta get him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So now we are, do you have anything more before we go back to the Dennis Feinstein party?
No, I am at Dennis Feinstein.
Or should we say Dante Fierro?
Yeah, which was a way better name. Like, I don't understand.
I know. Why you apparently changed Dennis your name. Feinstein, the more like Jewish sounding name. And I'm not just saying that. That was something that Alan Yang said when he was talking about this episode. He said they thought it was really funny that like the more Jewish sounding name is the more like exotic ethnic. And Pawnee.
Yeah. That's so funny. Oh my god.
Okay, so the names of the perfumes, here's the ones that I have. I don't know if I wrote down all of them, but we have Yearning, Attack, Side Boob, Coma, Side Boob, and Itch.
Yeah, Side Boob is the one where I'm like, for real?
That's the best one.
Yikes. So stupid. I love that Tom and Ben are actually hanging out. So he didn't invite Ben just to invite Ben, right? He's actually spending time with him.
Yeah. I feel like he did at first, like he invited him just to be nice because Leslie made him. But like now that they're actually there, they're talking. And I love that Tom's pitch to like, looks like you just inhaled your future or whatever. And Ben's like, that could maybe actually work.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of funny. Yeah.
Well, and we see this relationship forming and it continues throughout the series where Ben does step into more of a business consulting role. For him. And it's a friendship too, but he comes to him for Entertainment 720 as well.
Yeah.
You know, and then again for Tommy's Closet.
Right.
Or Tom's Closet. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's Tommy's Closet. Okay. Well, Tommy's Closet is the opposite one.
Yeah.
That's
what I was thinking of. The one that the Fonz does.
Yes. The Fonz.
Yes.
So this is where we get to where April is like, I don't care, Sasha, I don't want anything, like I just want to hang out with you. And then because Andy can't afford drinks, and she's like, plus I'm a girl in a sleazy bar and I can get drinks any fucking time I want to. And she shows how she does that. And it's so funny. And I love this so much where she's like, I hate drinking alone. And then she's like, what's your name? He says that, the guy, and she's like, Oprah. That's the second
I want to drink alone.
Oprah.
Thanks.
I know, right? I said I want to drink alone.
Yeah.
Gosh. This guy's name that she gets the drink from is John Barinholtz, and he is the brother of Ike Barinholtz. Isn't that crazy?
Why do I know Barinholtz that name?
Is in Mindy Kaling. He's the.
Oh.
Yeah. And he's been in a ton of stuff, a bunch of comedy things. But the main thing that, like, I don't know if this crowd would maybe know him from is the Mindy Kaling Show or Mindy Kaling Project. Which is crazy. But he's also been in Rutherford Falls, Dumb and Dumber 2. And he is the star or one of the stars of American Auto, which is another show very similar to The Office / Superstore / Parks and Rec with the mom from Mean Girls that I can't remember her name. She was also famous for SNL, but she's the lead in it. And
Amy something. Sierra. I don't know.
American Auto, which I need to watch, actually. I haven't really heard anything about it, honestly. Anna Gasteyer.
You said the mom. Anna. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Anna Gasteyer.
You said the mom from Mean Girls, and my brain always goes to Amy Poehler.
I know. Oh, yeah. She's also the mom in Mean Girls.
Yeah.
But not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
A cool mom.
But John Barinholtz also wrote and starred in something called The Glue Factory. He's been a writer slash, I think, performer as well on Mad TV. But yeah, he's been in a ton of things, and it's really cool that they're two Barinholtz brothers. But yeah, he's very precious.
Very cool. Love that.
Then we go back to Chris's house. Do you have anything before that?
No.
Okay. So he's making dinner. Leslie's trying to poke around and see about this alleged other woman. And she's naming all these women like, do you have any aunts, any sisters in town, moms? And it's really funny that we learn that his mom is in Wisconsin. That's cool. Yeah. I didn't realize that he was from there.
Comes back later, doesn't it? Because her family is in Michigan. And so he's like, well, we'll be closer to my family or something like that.
Oh, okay. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. A young grandmother. I just love that she...
Why does it have to be a young grandmother?
I guess because of like the... No, I was going to say because of all like the pink looking things, maybe his age. I don't know. Good question. That's a little ageist, Leslie.
Yeah. But I love Ron. Did you forget how to have a conversation?
I know. And I also love that Chris like asks her all the same questions back to her. And she's like, no, but moving on. And it's just so funny.
Yeah. No, she immediately comes back with her next question. Right. Like, she's a woman on a mission.
Right.
So no, and I would like to say she started out very subtle. Mm-hmm. Right. Like in the beginning of the episode, she I can't remember exactly which. I think I wrote it down, but I skipped over it. Mm-hmm. She asks a very subtle question about like, you know, about the women stuff, but now it's just like blatantly asking these questions. Like she's already grasped on to.
I think it was the coat thing was the first thing, basically. Like, oh, you have a lot of coats in here. Like, why do you have so many coats? Kind of thing. And he's just like, I like coats.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, but now she's gripped on to this. He's cheating on her.
Yeah, 100%.
And is going full fledged.
Right, because she's told Anne already, and Anne's on her way. So now she's like, okay, we got to get to the bottom of this immediately.
Yeah, and Ron's priority is that Anne bring garlic salt because he's afraid that Chris won't have any.
Right, exactly. Oh, great spice. All right, so back at the club, April got pigs in a blanket from a waiter because she said she had a pork deficiency, which is really interesting and funny and weird. And then Andy gets mints from the bathroom, and then they make a game of whoever can get the most free stuff. And I also think it's just funny that there's pigs in a blanket at a bar. I don't know. I feel like that's not, like, always on the menu.
Well, and this isn't, like, an Irish pub where we might find pigs in a blanket. This is, like, a club.
Right. Right.
Like, I also wouldn't necessarily see pigs in a blanket there.
Yeah. It's weird. But that's okay. So. It is what it is. And it's like a very large plate of them, too. It's not just like an appetizer size, I feel.
Yeah. 100%.
So then Leslie finally comes out and says what she's feeling. She's like, you know, I think this might be my favorite line. We'll see when we get to the end of it. But you know what's funny about Anne? She's my best friend, and anyone who hurt her, I'd murder probably.
Love it. I also noted that as one of my favorite lines in this episode.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And then he's like,
just the way she says it too.
Yeah, totally. It's freaking hilarious. I love it so much. Yeah. Okay, so then this is where we cut back to the bar, and Tom is going over to Dennis Feinstein to pitch his idea. Also, he walks over and says, like, I'm the organizer of this. I don't know why I was like, I don't understand how he's the organizer. Like, I guess he just means he's like an investor in the club, so maybe he's the one that gave Snakehole the go-ahead to host this. Like, I don't understand the organizer part of it.
So my thought process here was this is something that Tom's passionate about, and he knew that Dennis Feinstein was coming into town or something. Mm-hmm. And so he asked the club to make it like a VIP thing.
Mm.
That's the only thing I could think of was like...
Or maybe he was looking for... Maybe Dennis Feinstein was like looking for a place to have the launch party, and like Tom caught wind of that somehow, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But either way, he's the organizer of this whole shindig.
Apparently.
And apparently, allegedly.
Allegedly.
quick breakdown on Dennis Feinstein. He is played by Jason Mantzoukas. He's been in a ton of stuff. Ton of stuff. We talked about how Nick Kroll was in the last episode, and Nick Kroll created and stars in Big Mouth. And Jason Mantzoukas is also in Big Mouth, who is phenomenal. Oh, my God. He's also in The Good Place, Lego Batman movie, The Dictator. So many Amy Poehler movies. There's this, which mm-hmm. I haven't watched, the movie called The House with Will Ferrell and her. Have you watched that?
No, I haven't.
I saw it on IMDb and I was like, I don't feel like it was as like publicized or something. Like, I feel like I should have known more about it, but so that's going to be on my list. And then Amy Poehler is also in a movie called They Came Together with Paul Rudd. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Oh my God. It is the craziest, funniest thing ever. They're basically making fun of rom-coms. They're doing like this super campy like parody of a rom-com, and it's fucking hilarious.
And who's this? Amy Poehler and who?
Paul Rudd.
Oh, I love him.
Okay. I know, which we'll see him come back too as Baby Newport.
Love it.
So him, Paul Scheer, so Jason Mantzoukas, Paul Scheer, who has also been on Parks, and June Diane Raphael, who have also been on Parks, have a podcast called How Did This Get Made? And it's about bad movies. And they also go on tour a lot, which is super fun. But they talk about like terrible movies, and I've listened to a few, and it's really like, it really is a question of how did this get made.
Yeah. Which brings me to another movie that he was in. He was in The Disaster Artist.
Oh, God. Have you seen that? I didn't know that. No, I never saw it, but I know what you're talking about.
And have you seen The Room, though?
No, I haven't seen either of them.
Okay. So that's a movie where it's like, why did this get made?
Yes.
But it's it's Connor and Ivan's favorite movie.
Oh, my God.
And we watch it every time we're all together. And the quotes that they get, it's just so... Anyway, The Disaster Artist is amazing. Because I'm not condoning or anything or feeling bad for James Franco, but he would have 100% won the Oscar if he had not done unsuitable things between his nomination and the Oscars, because he was phenomenal in that film. But anyway, I highly recommend.
I like James Franco's acting.
Yeah, 100%.
He's like an asshole, apparently, but yeah. His acting is pretty good.
Yeah, but I would say anybody who hasn't, and you too, because I think you would appreciate it, but you have to watch it with someone. That's what I would say, because you need to be able to laugh with someone about what's happening in front of you. But I would say watch The Room and then watch Disaster Artist, because some people did Disaster Artist and then The Room, and I'm like, I don't feel like you can fully appreciate Disaster Artist.
What's going on.
Yeah, unless you've seen The Room. So anyway, side note. About that, but I didn't know he was in that movie until I was doing my research, and I was like, that's such a good movie too.
Yeah.
that he was in. So
oh my God, yeah, he's awesome, love him.
Yeah,
then he has that line of, if you're from the FDA, you have to tell me.
I know.
He's a police officer.
Why are you so worried about that?
Exactly,
like, that's concerning to me that you're worried about the FDA showing up.
Oh my God. So.
And I also, before we go on with that, it's also important to know that he played a pretty big role in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yes. I meant to write that down, too.
As Rosa's boyfriend.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was great in that, too. His name's like Pimento or something, some sort of cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But he's phenomenal in that. And his chemistry with Andy Samberg is really amazing. Good. It's so good. But anyway, I had to note that, too.
I don't know if I've gotten that far in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I kind of took a pause from it.
It's three or four seasons in, at least.
Okay. Yeah. He plays Rosa's boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Love it. Yeah. Okay.
He's a criminal, I think.
Of course.
I don't remember, but he's
so
great.
Good. Love it.
Yeah. I figured some people who listen to us here probably watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine as well, so I thought it'd be a nice little thing
He's totally in this, like, much like Paul Scheer and June Diane and all these people are, in very much in the circle of the comedy people that we love with The Office and Parks and Brooklyn Nine-Nine, because Brooklyn Nine-Nine was created by Dan Gore, a.k.a. the dude that is very responsible for Parks.
Yeah.
So it's lovely. Just a friendly reminder. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So now he's talking about, sorry, did I cut you off?
No, sorry. I just didn't want to get back full in the scene without mentioning the Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So the FDA thing, which is concerning.
Yes. And how he always gets pitched on new scents. So he's like, okay, I get it. Like, this is a gag gift or a gag scent because it's so awful.
It's so bad.
But Tom has this whole dream and it's like so sad kind of because he's like, you know, if you like it, maybe we move on to watches and raincoats and like open up stores in London and Paris. Like, I haven't really thought about it that much. It was like,
yeah, I really haven't put a lot in that. Yeah. But he also, the label on Tom's is not good.
I know, the graphic is so bad. It's just his face on a white sticker.
Yeah. So I mean, there's not a lot going on. I think the name is the best part, Tommy Fresh, but the label is not good. Apparently the smell is not good, and we learn later from Ben that it's really not good.
He does so well. We'll get to I'll say it again when we get there. He does so well with the dry heaving, and like, it looks so real.
It's so good.
Oh my God.
Ben is so caring for Tom in this moment too, because he's watching him this whole time. If you look in the background, Adam Scott, I don't know if he's doing that purposely, but he's watching the entire interaction. Also, note, he did not change his clothes before going to Snake Hole Lounge.
I know. I saw that too. I
love that.
Liar.
He's like, yeah, I'm not doing that. So,
right.
But yeah,
also, does he really have anything else to change into?
No, he doesn't have anything nicer.
No.
No.
Which would have been another button up. Well, it's like, I don't know, when I think about it, remember last episode with Media Blitz, Tom took Ben to the mall because he wanted to get suit for him, and like, Brooks Brothers doesn't make garbage, so you know, Ben, put some effort.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, so now we're back at Chris's house. Leslie's leaving a message to Anne, and she's like, don't come up here. It's really not worth it. And then this is when Ron finds out that they are not steaks. They're portobello mushrooms. And he opens the grill and he screams and like basically passes out. And it's so terrible. And Nick Offerman does such a good job of like being so dramatic about this moment.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Chris is like, oh, yeah, like that's what it is. And I'm like, oh, my God, Chris.
He doesn't realize what he's done.
Yeah.
And then Leslie's having to pick up all the pieces too, right? So she's so like, she's almost overwhelmed because she's like, I gotta take care of Ron, but also Anne's here now, and like, oh my gosh, everything's happening.
Oh my God. Yes. It's like, yeah, great scene. Lots of things are falling apart. And then we go back to Snake Hole, and April just like casually steals a shirt off the wall. Starts serving people and like taking the drinks from the waiter bartender lady, and she's like, do you work here? we should have done this when we were like waitressing, I feel, to just like not bring them free stuff, but just flat out say, how about some tips?
Yeah, seriously,
it's so funny.
It's necessary.
Yeah.
My gosh.
And then, so funny, Andy is in the bathroom trying to get tips for passing out things, but he's like, we're out of everything, sir. He's like, do you have any mint? Gum or mints? And then he's like, neither.
Yeah.
It's so
funny. We don't have anything.
We're out of everything.
But still.
And then he just sticks his hand out. Oh, my God. And then that guy still gives him a dollar or whatever, so.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen this guy before. When I was watching it, I was like, oh my gosh, I've seen this guy. Like, why does he look so familiar? And it's because he's been in 6 episodes of Parks. This is just his first one. So we've seen him before. He comes back.
Okay.
I believe we'll get there when we get there, but I believe he's the one. He's in a lot of town halls, but especially that one episode where they're going to put a fast food restaurant, Sweetums. Is it Sweetums? No.
Paunch Burger.
Thank you. Oh, my God. I was like, Sweetums is not the... Yeah. They're going to put a Paunch Burger on the pit, and they put a sign up or whatever. And so they're like fighting about which one is going to be which. And the guy comes over and, oh, my God, a Paunch Burger. That's so cool. And April's like, their burgers will kill you. They're full of wasps and spiders. And he was like, but they taste real good, though.
Yeah.
That's him. So... his name is Mike Mitchell, and he's been in a ton of stuff. He's been in Sonic 2. He has a podcast called The Doughboys, which apparently is very popular. So take a listen to that. He's also in the movie The Tomorrow War with Chris Pratt, which is kind of cool. A little crossover. Okay. And then
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. And he's been in a bunch of UCB and Comedy Bang Bang stuff, which is cool. So a lot of like improv stuff, which is really cool. They gave him the name. It's so funny. On the show, his character name is Bjorn Lurpus. And apparently one of the Bjorn Lurpus. And one of the things they said on Parks and Recollection was that they ended up giving a lot of people the last name of Lurpus. It's like a family name in Pawnee. I don't know why. They didn't say where it came from, but that was like a fun behind the scenes moment. It's so weird.
That is interesting. Also, Bjorn, like, are we Swedish?
I don't know. I do not know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then Andy is helping this other guy dry his hands on his own shirt in like the background. It's really funny. This guy's name is Nick Holmes, and he's been in Guardians of the Galaxy, Gilmore Girls, the new iteration, mm-hmm. like the year in the, no, what is it? Is it Year in the Life?
Yeah, Year in the Life.
Something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
So he was in that. I think I may or may not hear from him later. I did get in touch with his agent, so we'll see.
Nice.
And then I hope that I would love to talk to Mike Mitchell as well to, you know, talk to him about working with Chris Pratt too. But anyway, now we are at where Anne bursts into Chris's house and we get all the explanations of everything, and it's like really sad because there's all these pink things. Chris is like, I'm not cheating on you, but I'm also not dating you.
They are the perfect storm. Leslie mm-hmm. says it beautifully. Like, Anne is too innocent and has not been heartbroken before, and Chris is too sweet, so mm-hmm. that like it was not clear. And she's yeah. like, it makes me question how good of a nurse she is. I'm like, why?
Why? That's not anything that's...
This has nothing to do with that.
I know. Did you notice so when Anne and Chris are talking on the couch, there's this thumbs up statue thing? I don't know if it's a statue or a lamp. I'll have to take a picture of it.
Huh. No, I did not notice that.
Okay, I'm going to highlight that in my notes so that I know to take a picture of it. It's so weird, and like, I don't know if it's just the framing of how they are sitting or what, but it's really strange. So anyway, the way that we do hear this, and I wanted to talk to you about this, the way that we hear how he broke up with her, it kind of is understandable to me, the way he phrased everything, like calling her the most amazing woman, and you know, mm-hmm. like I just wouldn't have thought to ask, like, at the end of the conversation, so what did you mean by that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's the same situation we have with April and Andy earlier in the episode that like that we discussed, right? Is there's no clear, this is the end, mm-hmm. or I still want to be with you. Yeah. There's he's fiddling around it. I honestly feel for Anne because mm-hmm. I'm oblivious. Like, I think I've had this conversation with you before. I never know. Like, I've left grocery stores before and my dad's been like, the cashier was flirting with you. And it's like, I didn't see any of that.
Yeah,
so I don't know what you're talking about. So it's like, I don't think I feel for her. I'm with her. I don't think it was clear to her. And I don't think he said it clearly. But I'm not mad at him necessarily. It's right. like, you just need to be more clear in how you're communicating.
Well, and we talked about this last episode as well, that Chris is just not good at communicating, I feel. The way he phrases it, but also just in general, like saying how he feels. Like, he doesn't.
Right.
I don't know. He doesn't get the social cues. And like, this goes back to kind of like, I guess kind of almost even what you said. But I think we've mentioned this before, where like we always say Andy's kind of like a golden retriever. I feel like mm-hmm. Chris is the opposite side of that, like a smarter dog. Like, not the golden retrievers aren't smart, but you know what I mean, like compared to Andy, it's like the similar communication skills and positivity and all that, you know what I mean?
And I think that comes more in, because in his job, and this is what was so frustrating for Anne, right? It was the last episode that it was mm-hmm. so frustrating for Anne, because he was blatantly asking April to move to Indianapolis,
right?
So he was clear with her, but he couldn't be clear with Anne. And that was what was frustrating for Anne. So that's the other thing, is like, is he able to do it? Because some people are like this. They're able to do what they need to do in their job, but mm-hmm. in their personal life, it's different. They don't function the same.
That's something we talked about too, because like, even in some of his professional experiences, he's bad at communicating and he just leaves Ben to be direct, mm-hmm. you know? So like, I don't know.
That's true too. It's so inconsistent. Yeah. It's very interesting. Because he's honest with April. He's honest with April, and he says, you have a lot of potential.
Maybe it's only with bad news. That's what it is. It's only with bad news that he's bad at communicating. When it's good news.
Because he's so positive.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay, good call.
Mm-hmm. we solved the Rubik's Cube of Chris.
Which is amazing character writing.
Totally. Really? I wonder like, if they knew they were doing
that. That took us a second. Yeah, that's it's amazing. Because, yeah, you're right. If it's good news, he's very communicative.
Yeah.
And direct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if he had asked Anne to move with him, I think he would have had more of a direct conversation.
Yeah.
Now that with what you're saying.
Yeah. I also love the flashback that they show of Anne on the couch after Chris leaves, like her like smiling. Like, yeah, that was a great conversation.
Feeling all happy about it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's funny.
She's like, she knows exactly what just happened and
oh yeah,
not so much.
But also doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we're back at the snake hole. Tom is all sad and Ben tries to cheer him up by bringing him a melantini, which I think is really interesting. I also really love, this is the funny line that we'll kind of touch on at the end, where it starts anyway, is where he says, I can smell your dreams, Tom. I can smell them from here.
I can
smell. And the talking head of, and honestly, they smell terrible.
Fucking terrible. I love it. It's so good. This is my other thing for Tom, because I'm not trying to invalidate his sadness, mm-hmm. right? He's like, Tommy Fresh was my dream. But in my head, I'm like, I don't think Tommy Fresh is his dream.
Mm-hmm.
We've only just heard about it this episode. And
right.
So it's like the dream is bigger than Tommy Fresh. The dream is running his own business. Right. I think that's really what his dream is. But that was his glimpse of hope into actually running his own business.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
but I think on the.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say on the surface, I think we look at it and we're like, you're so emotional just about a perfume. But if you look at it, you're like, he's actually emotional about losing that opportunity of maybe getting out of the parks department and actually doing what he wants to do.
Right. No, that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. Is that it's not necessarily the product necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's more of the future that he's upset about, the future of his dream. Because like he's like, that's my dream kind of thing. So, yeah, totally agree with that. Okay. So now we are at where Andy and April are going over their treasures, their pirate's booty, if you will. And April got a jar of olives and toothpicks that look like swords. And then Andy got toilet paper.
And quite a bit of money.
Quite a bit of
money. I love that he takes the toilet paper later.
Me too. He's walking out with the toilet paper because he needs it.
Yeah, fair.
And then April got $180 in tips, which is so cute because at the same time, they say we should give it back. And that's super precious.
Yeah, I love that too. And because with April, honestly, I think it could go either way. She could feel like, I'm just going to keep it. Yeah. So I love that they are like, nah, we've got to give it to the people who are actually working.
And I wonder, a part of me wonders if April would have like not given it back if it wasn't for Andy being there and them being in it together. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very super true. Cute. Yeah.
This next scene, oh my God, is when Anne and Leslie are driving back and Leslie tells her all about the bad dating stories, which is so funny because we already heard all her bad dating stories in the Dave episode.
Yeah.
And so now we're getting even more bad dating stories, which is freaking hilarious. I wrote down quite a bit of them if you want to hear them.
Yes, of course. I think what's cool about those two is because we see an evolution for Leslie, because when we were talking in the Dave episode, it was more dates that had gone wrong. And now we're in breakups. So some of those relationships that didn't have shitty first date stories did actually go into a positive, like into a dating experience that now left to not positive skywriting. And stuff. So
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I want to hear everything you wrote down. I love them all.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's also really funny to me because this was also the part of Parks when Amy Poehler as Leslie got to improvise quite a bit. So they used all these jump cuts that they were talking about. And remember, this started when Shauna Mollway-Tweep was interviewing her way back in like episode 2 or 3 of the whole series. And Dean Holland was like, let's just put all of these in here because they're all gold. And so I think that it's a mixture of that and then also obviously written things. But this whole thing is just Amy Poehler improvising a lot of stuff. I think some of it was written, but a lot of it was just her. But the first one is, one time I was in a high school, a guy's mom called me and broke up with me for him. And that was tame compared to the things that we hear later. One time on a date, she tripped and broke her kneecap, and the guy said he wasn't feeling it. And so he left and she got an ambulance.
She had to wait by herself.
It's awful. One time a guy got down on one knee and begged her to never call him again. And then the picnic story, which I didn't write down, but basically they set up a picnic and then the guy was like, don't sit down, someone else is coming. Couldn't remember.
Rebecca's coming.
Who's Rebecca?
Who's Rebecca? Exactly.
And then the last one that I wrote down is skywriting isn't always positive. That also might be another favorite line.
It's so sad, but so good.
My favorite, though, out of like all of those from all the episodes, is that tooth story where they went to a movie and like she fell asleep or something and he woke up with like him trying to remove her teeth. Yeah. And then she was like, we went out a couple times after that, but then it started to get weird. And then she finally, like, Anne kind of finally recognizes or, you know, puts two and two together that Leslie's going to miss this commendation award because she's driving her back, which is really sweet and cute.
And she asks if she's trusting of Ron, like he'll figure it out, you know, but Amy Poehler does have this really good face of like, I really don't know if he's going to be okay without me.
Okay, well, I wanted to show you, there's a whole deleted scene of him accepting the award.
Oh, no way. Aww.
I know, I'm so sad that they didn't put it in. I mean, I get it for time purposes. Yeah. And there's another guest star, and you know me, I try to put all the guest stars in, even if it was cut, but I could not find him credited on this. So I don't know who it was. If this was you, let me know. But let me go ahead and share this scene with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Indiana legislature is pleased to present this certificate of commendation to Mr. Ron Swanson and the City of Pawnee Parks and Recreations Department. Mr. Swanson, congratulations.
Thank you, State Assembly, for this commendation. But I would like to speak to you today about something unforgivable that's happening right here in Indianapolis. The Charles Mulligan Steakhouse at the corner of 9th and Pearson has been closed due to a health code violation. Now, I was told I should limit my remarks to 30 seconds, and I understand you people just opened a children's hospital. But I'm going to keep talking until Mulligan's is reopened. I believe this is what you call a filibuster.
This isn't really the time or place for a filibuster.
In 1914, Charles Mulligan got drunk, wandered into a field, and punched a man to death. Well, the man turned out to be a cow, and that cow turned out to be a delicious steak.
My gosh.
That's it?
What a scene.
So basically they're in a couple things just to paint the picture of it a little bit. They're in the state house. And so it's basically like if you were to go to a Capitol house and see all the desks set up of where the Republicans and Democrats sit and everything. And then he's up on like the podium. There's really no one else there. It's not a big crowd, obviously, for many of these government things. There's not. But there are like a group of people that are also getting commendations, like these people that open the children's hospital. And then there's that pause where you can kind of hear some paper rustling, and he has taken the sign off of Mulligan's and brought it with him to the meeting to show everyone.
Wow. The effort that was put in.
I know.
That's amazing.
It's so good.
That's so Ron of him.
It really is. So then we get to this terrible slash famous scene, though, where Ron is at a diner and he orders a steak and gets the steak and he's like, that's not a steak. Why would you call it that? And this guy's like, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Yeah, fair.
I did do
like,
a quick.
You just work there.
Yeah, totally. And also, I mean, looking at it, yeah, it's a little bit half and half. Like, first of all, you go to a diner. I'm not really sure what you expect. Like, it's not going to be the same or even close to Mulligan's. So, like, lower your expectations a tiny bit. But I understand that by this point, Ron just needs something.
Yeah.
A little bit of a breakdown. This guy that serves Ron is named Nick Armstrong, and he has been in a lot of things. He played the technician in Launch Party on The Office. I think you could see him on the screen. Or no. Or maybe he's the one that set up the camera in Scranton. He was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, iCarly, Young Sheldon, Grey's Anatomy. He is a huge improviser. He's the founder of a nonprofit called Camp Improv Utopia, which is an improv retreat for adults. That was kind of fun.
Cool. That's awesome.
And then we have Ron Swanson's famous line in this episode of just give me all the bacon and eggs you have. And then he's like, wait, I worry what you just heard was give me a lot of bacon and eggs. What I said was give me all the bacon and eggs you have. Do you understand?
Yeah. Which he's already been disappointed so much today. He's like, I'm going to be extremely clear with what my expectations are.
100%. And I think he's going back to basics. It's like, if it can't have the steak I want, then just give me all the bacon and eggs you have.
Yeah. I know. He's so distraught.
I know. Well, do you have anything before we go back to the club?
No.
Cool. So we see the Tommy Teeny, apparently. It's vodka and cinnamon. And by see, he's talking about this.
Yeah.
Like that sounds awful.
Yeah.
And then Donna comes in. I missed her this episode because this is really her only little moment. But she comes in and gives Ben a Miller Lite, and he's like, "How'd you know that?" And then they're like, "That's your drink." And everyone knows him. And Ben, you really start the ice break a little bit because he's like, "Oh my gosh!" Like, I think Pawnee's making Ben have feelings.
100%, right? That cynical part of him, they're kind of tearing that down. And they're showing them that they're showing him that not everybody's going to be that dismissive, you're only here for a little bit, people.
And they've noticed him. I think that's like, that's what everybody wants. But especially, I feel like Ben, like, they see him, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
And it's so special.
Yeah.
And then Donna and Tom dance around and it's really cute.
Yeah. Well, and you feel part of something too when people know.
What's that?
You feel part of something when people know, you know, can bring you what you want.
Yeah.
There's a connection there that, you know, that's special.
Yeah. What's your drink?
Oh, it shifts all the time. But I will tell you right now, I'm super into mead.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Wait, what shifts?
Like if I'm going to get a cocktail or a beer or like, you know.
Oh, my God. I totally thought you were like naming a cocktail that I'd never heard of. Oh. Or like a brand called Shifts.
And yeah, no. That's so funny. Oh, man.
Okay, so
no,
right now
yeah.
It's mead.
Yeah, which I was really, we have to come to Nashville first, but the next time you come to Arizona, you'll have to come to actual Prescott, and there's a meadery here. It's so good.
Oh, yeah, you've told me about this. That's cool.
Yeah, so
there's a meadery here, too, so you can come.
Okay, so we'll do that when we, because Ivan's gotten super into tequilas, so he's, like, been buying, like, different tequilas to try and just to have. Like, he's not doing, like, shot. He's, like, drinking them and enjoying them, which I don't fully understand. So he was like, but you can do it with mead. And I was like, that sounds perfect. So I want to collect from several different meaderies. So that'd be cool.
Cool.
Yes.
Love it.
And you change, but I know you like bourbon.
Yeah, I love bourbon. I think my drink, though, like, just to be safe, like if anyone was ever curious, I guess, like would fluctuate between a margarita or an old fashioned. That would be like, those are the top two like safest things for me to order at a bar. If I'm not getting like beer or wine or something, you know?
Right. Yeah. So I guess my version of that would be a mule.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love
like
it.
The go-to cocktail.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Okay. So, but and I also think it's really funny, a really fun character choice that Miller Lite is Ben's choice or like his drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
it fits his personality.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more of a deleted scene of Donna and Tom dancing around, but obviously they cut it for time, but it just looks really funny. There's no lines or anything. It's just them dancing longer. So it's really hilarious. And I love that Ben sees Ann and Leslie and he walks over and is like, oh my gosh, Leslie, hey.
Yeah.
And which is precious. And then Leslie's like, oh, look who's socializing. And we find out that Ann says she just found out that her and Chris broke up. And Ben is like, oh, so that's why you tried to kiss him. We were all seriously confused about that. That is so embarrassing.
And that's really embarrassing. And who is we all? Like, I would hope that it would just be him and Chris, right? Like, Chris's Leslie. So that's, I can see them talking about it, but who else was there?
It's especially also the word all.
Yeah.
All series. Who are you talking about?
Right. The other thing that makes me so sad for Anne is like, Leslie's like, well, Anne's kind of upset because Chris dumped her. And he's like, yeah, like a week ago, right?
I know. That's so embarrassing. I'm
like, oh.
There is a little bit of a deleted scene here, actually. It's so sad. Wait, let me see. Basically, where they're talking, it's just a continuation of this one.
Who wants to hit up KJ?
Yes, me.
Oh, it's late. I should call Chris and say goodnight. Oh, my God. I'm going home, and I'm going to sleep, and I'm not leaving my house for 10 days.
Okay, I'm
going
to come over at 7 a.m., and we're going to play tennis.
Food. So funny.
Since when? Since when do you wake up at 7 and play tennis together?
I know. That was really weird of an addition to that scene. But basically, again, Anne is just like so hasn't wrapped her head around that they've broken up. And she's such in a habit of like, oh, I should call him. They're about to like wrap everything up at the party. And oh my God, it's just crazy. And Leslie's like,
well, so here's my follow up question. Has she called him every night since they've broken up then to say goodnight?
Oh, great question.
And like, has Chris just not done anything about it?
I don't know. Because remember when they have the actual conversation in Indianapolis at his house, there, she says, I wanted you to meet my parents. Like, I wonder if that was from the first
phone calls.
Or was it from the phone calls? Yeah.
Right.
Or maybe she's been leaving him messages and that's why she says he's been distant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or not even answering. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Crazy. Huh. So this is where we get to the part of like they're all walking out. I think this is the tag where Andy, you see, has kept the toilet paper. Feinstein's license plate says smells. And
great.
Ben's like, give me Tommy Fresh. And he sprays the perfume in the car. And yeah, I already said this, but it's just crazy the way that he's walking out and like gagging / dry heaving, throwing up. It's so funny. I feel like he did such a good job of that. And Amy Fuller or Leslie is like, is it that bad?
Yeah, that's well done. Is she standing there with Donna?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, because that's
it's crazy that it's like coming from that far out, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think like Leslie can smell it yet, but like it still stays with him as he walks away.
Yeah. Yeah. Gross.
That's crazy. I think, oh yeah, that's all. That's all I have.
Yeah.
I thought I had one more note, but yeah, that was Indianapolis, you guys. Did you have anything else?
No, that was my last note.
Okay. Awesome. Well, what's crazy is that next episode is Harvest Festival. I'm trying to get some people. I haven't planned exactly, but I really, really, really hope that I can get either the art director, I already talked to him. Oh my God. What are they called? Production designer, I want to say. Or one of the camera operators, whether that's Shauna or I emailed Shauna a couple times about some other questions and I hadn't heard back from her, but I know she's super busy. But we haven't talked to, I think the other guy's name is Matt, maybe? No, it's Tom. It's Tom.
Okay.
Because the way I remember that is because there's a Tom Haverford and a Tom camera operator.
Yeah.
I think, anyway. But anyway, I want to get, even if it's not for the whole episode, I want to talk to some more production people, because that was a huge, huge production for the festival. And I definitely want to see if we can get somebody that had to talk about Lil Sebastian.
Yes, I know. I wanted to, I was wondering, because we haven't done Joan. And she's a staple in this episode.
Totally. Yeah, I haven't emailed her lately. I've talked to her a couple times via email a long time ago, but I haven't. Yeah, so
she was always too busy. Yeah.
Yeah, because she was doing her show, is it Talking Dead? No. Shoot, I forgot what it is. But Either way, she's in production for that. But I don't know if that's over or not, so it might be. But regardless, there's so many players in this next episode, so I really, really, really want to talk to especially some kind of designer. I want to know how they got all of those like rides and stuff there. And then if we can get some of the actors in too, that would be amazing.
Yeah,
so we'll keep you posted with who we get, and you'll see you later.
Yeah, you'll find out.
Yeah, you'll find out. But yeah, so again, I say this every time, but if you haven't followed us on Instagram, please do that. Just Park Pals Podcast. We do really fun, polls and stories and things like that. And then if you haven't rated or reviewed us, you can do that on Apple Podcasts. Spotify has, you can rate us, but you can't review us because that's just how Spotify is set up. Mm-hmm. But we would greatly appreciate anything that you have to let us know. Feedback is great. 5 stars or nothing. And I was about to say 5 stars or above, but that's not possible.
Doesn't go higher, yeah.
Yeah. But thank you for joining us, and I'm glad that Maddie could be here.
Yes. Yay. I will hopefully be here much, much more often. Not planning a wedding and having better boundaries with work. So
yes, we all hear you and support you. But I hope that you have fun on your honeymoon, and everyone send Maddie all the love and safe travels.
Thank you, guys. Yes, and I will have, I'm sure I'll have pictures to show you when I get back.
Oh, totally. Oh, also, who was our VIP for this one? Our VIPP, very important park pal. I think,
because I don't feel this way very often, I want to give it to Tom for me, because I do feel like he did put the extra effort in to make Ben feel included. Yeah. And I just appreciate that. And I do appreciate the grind that he's going to make things happen for himself. So
I agree. I think it was I almost want to I kind of, for the similar reasons, wanted to give it to Anne to like make her feel better.
Yeah, right.
Like, say, we got this, girl. But if I was like really honest about it, I think my VIPP is Leslie. Because she pulls everything together, and she is there for everyone. And she, and like Ben wouldn't have come over and like had a bonding moment if it wasn't for her. And Anne wouldn't have been feeling as supported if it wasn't for her, and all those kinds of things. I don't think that she should have questioned Anne's nursing ability, but other than that. Right.
Yeah. No, I think this, you're right. This episode is a really good indication of priorities for Leslie, because as much as she loves her job, her friends always come before her job. Mm-hmm. And that was very evident in this episode.
Friends, work, and waffles.
Yes.
Or no, friends, waffles, and work. But work comes third.
Yes.
Did you have a favorite line? Did you tell me that already?
I had several.
I know, me too.
I think, you know, I think if you don't take the Anna's my best friend, and anyone who hurts her is someone I would murder, probably. If you don't take that one, I'll take it. Otherwise, okay, I'll take that one then.
Okay, what was the other ones, though? Because we can always do multiple.
The other one I was going to do was give me all the bacon and eggs you have.
Oh, sure.
Please wait. I feel like what you heard was give me a lot of bacon and eggs. Yeah. That one.
Yes, that's a great one. Oh, my God. I love that. I think what did I highlight again? Oh, yeah, I did highlight the murder thing, but I could also highlight the, if not, what was it? If not, you guys are great together, but if so, I will kill him.
The back and forth.
Yeah. There's a bunch, though, so if you change your mind, let me know. I just love all these. And also, we did last week or the week before that, maybe. I think the week before that, when all the cops were coming in. We have had, in lieu of favorite line, it was more so like favorite scene, if you will. Mm-hmm. Because you and Brooklyn agreed about like the real piece of work thing.
Yeah. That's so good.
So, which, by the way, Kurt Scholler, one of the cops, emailed me back. So hopefully we can talk to him.
That'd be awesome.
Just get some voice memos and some behind the scenes stuff. I want to know where that bar is. I think it's on set. I think it's on a set. But I would like to confirm that.
Yes.
So, okay. Well, I thought I was ending 20 minutes ago, but now we are officially ending. Thanks again for joining us, guys. We'll see you for Harvest Festival. We're not sure when that'll be, but it'll be soon. So,
yes. See you soon.
Bye.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy too.